think we've all at some point or another have seen the commercials on television where they compare different things and the value of different things, the value of a meal at so-and-so, and they give you the cost of it. A cup of coffee at Starbucks, they'll give you the cost of it. And then they give you something else and they say priceless. In life, we tend to value certain things over other things more so. We place a value on things. And many times things in our lives become so valuable to us that they control our lives. It's what we judge everything else by. And we find that they actually control the way we live and our schedules and everything that we do. Well, this morning Paul talks to us a little bit about what we should really value in life and the true value of the relationship in Jesus Christ over the value in earthly things. And Paul tells us two things here this morning, that the most valuable thing in our lives is our relationship with Christ Jesus or the Messiah Jesus, and that that relationship is not just one way. It's a fellowship. It's back and forth. It's not something we just believe in Him so we're okay, we're good. No, it's back and forth. It's a fellowship, a relationship. And there's four things that Paul really teaches us here in these readings this morning. First of all, that righteousness does not come by religion. Secondly, righteousness is by grace of God through faith. Thirdly, that righteousness from God involves this relationship with His Son and results in resurrection. And fourth, our goal as followers of Jesus is not perfection here and now. Our goal is the prize of eternal life with God. Paul first starts out by saying, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he goes through a list of things that he has done in his life to fulfill the so-called laws of righteousness, to make himself righteous. And he says, if anybody thinks that he's done it, I'm the one, I've done all of them. Circumcised on the eighth day, according to the law, the Jewish boys were supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day. He was circumcised, which meant he was a true Jew, part of God's chosen people. He was of the people of Israel. Not only that, but of the tribe of Benjamin, that tribe from which the first king of Israel came. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, he was a Pharisee, which meant he followed the law to the T. As for zeal and his zealousness in following the law, he persecuted the church because he didn't believe that they followed the law. And as for legalistic righteousness, in other words, as for me being legalistic and righteous because I'm legalistic and live according to the laws, I was faultless, Paul says. I was without fault. I did it all as according to the laws. I did it all. But Paul says righteousness does not come by religion. He says all of this, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Remember, as Paul was going to Damascus to persecute the Christians, to bring them back in chains, Jesus had a different idea, and Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. In a flash of light, Paul was blinded. He talked to the Lord and began a personal relationship with Jesus, the resurrected Christ. And now he says, whatever was before that I counted as profit, having value, I now consider it loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. All that I consider loss is nothing in comparison with this surpassing greatness. I think the New American Standard Bible means or says value, surpassing value. Paul's saying, I consider all that nothing compared to the surpassing value and greatness of knowing Messiah Jesus, my Lord. and for he's the one for whose sake I have lost all things. In fact, he says, I consider them rubbish, garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. So he says, righteousness does not come by religion. Righteousness is by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And everything else that I valued before now has no value, no meaning compared with this relationship and this righteousness that I know in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, I want to know Christ. But you see, just knowing Jesus wasn't enough. That wasn't his hope. I know Jesus. Yeah, I know who Jesus is. I know Jesus. I go to church. I know Jesus. That wasn't enough for Paul. He says, not only do I want to know Christ, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship, this two-way relationship of sharing in his sufferings. I want to suffer just like he did and know how he felt and know the hope of the resurrection. And know the resurrection as he knows it now. I want to know these great things. And I also want to become like him in his death. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ. I want to know how he suffered, how it felt. I want to share in those sufferings. And I want the hope and sharing the resurrection that he knows now. I want to be just like him and be with him. And that's Paul's hope. Righteousness from God involves a relationship with God's Son and results in that resurrection. And Paul says, that's the most valuable thing to me in my life. That's what means the most. He says, it's not that I'm perfect, and I'm not perfect. Paul said in one other point, he said, the things that I want to do, they're the things that I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, they're the things I just simply keep doing like a dummy. I don't know why I do these things that I don't want to do, but they're the things that I do. He says, not that I've already obtained all this, I'm not perfect, or that I have been made perfect. No, I'm not. But the thing is, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I'm still pressing on. I've not yet reached perfection. I don't fully know Christ or the power of his resurrection or the sharing in his sufferings, but I'm pressing on that I might know that in the hope that someday I'll be resurrected like him and with him. I've not reached that now, and I won't reach it now, because you see, righteousness from God involving this relationship with Jesus is not perfection here and now. The goal for the follower of Christ is the prize of eternal life with God. Paul says, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to take hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, forgetting all that stuff, it's rubbish. What I valued before, what I prized before, forgetting all that, I strain forward. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He presses on for the goal. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. The goal is that which Jesus took hold of him, and the prize is up in verse 11, to attain the resurrection of the dead. He just keeps pressing on, though he's not perfect now. He knows he's not perfect. He knows he's not going to be perfect in this life, but his hope and his striving and his pursuit, his pursuing is the resurrection in Christ Jesus in glory. So he tells us the value of his relationship with Christ, and the surpassing greatness and value of knowing Christ, being in that fellowship. Jesus himself said at one point, don't store up treasures in heaven, or don't store up treasures on earth where a moth and rust can destroy. Instead, store up treasures in heaven. This is what Jesus was talking about. Heavenly treasures, where nothing can destroy, hoping in the resurrection, living out our lives in glory to God, that we might know, pursuing, pushing on, pushing forward, that someday we might know that resurrection too, because that's what he promises us. In Romans 8, Paul says, if we are children, we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. If we're heirs, if we're children, we're heirs, we inherit. And we're co-heirs with Christ, we inherit eternal life with Christ. In Acts chapter 20, Paul was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem, where he would eventually be put on trial and sent to Rome. And in the 20th chapter of Acts, he's leaving his friends in Ephesus. And he says to them, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. But I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, knowing that I'm going to face hardship, I know that it's there waiting for me. I consider my life worth nothing. Worth nothing to me. If only I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That was Paul's life. That's what he valued. That's what the followers of Christ should understand. We will never be perfect here. That's why we're looking forward to the resurrection, because when we are resurrected, we will be like Christ and we will be made perfect. John writes in one of his epistles, it's not been made clear to us what we will be, but we know when we see him, we will be like him. And that's the hope. That's the value of that relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never had or don't have that relationship with Jesus, you cannot know or fully understand what Paul is talking about here in this passage. If you have that relationship with Jesus, you fully understand what Paul's talking about. And I'm here to tell you this morning, what Paul's telling us is true. I remember the feelings as we packed up on a midwinter morning at our house in Glenmar, all of our belongings, laying it all aside, leaving it all behind, boxing up things of memories, remembering how much those things meant to us, little by little, boxing them up to take them somewhere else that we had never been, not knowing what was ahead of us, knowing that there would be trials and persecutions, but boxing up all those valuables. But as time went on, I realized those valuables didn't mean the same thing to me anymore. I realized that the things that I had valued all along in my life didn't mean as much to me anymore because of that calling that God had put on my life. It gave me a whole new value system. It gave me a whole new understanding of what is truly valuable, knowing that going into the unknown can be scary, but yet knowing that I didn't go alone, that God would part the waters and lead me through. And little by little, more of those things reached the attic because they no longer had the value to me that they used to have. The most valuable thing in our life should be knowing Jesus as Lord and have a relationship that comes from God through faith in Christ, resulting in the resurrection from the dead. That was Paul's hope. That has to be our hope. That has to be our value system. That has to be what drives us. Because you know, folks, to put it honestly, when the day comes and I turn up my toes and they dig that hole out there in the field for me that's mine and has my name on it, nothing nothing will mean more to me than my valuable relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing of this world will have any value at that moment in my life. There's only one thing that I will take with me, and that's my relationship with Jesus Christ and my hope in the resurrection through Christ. Everything else in life, when compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus, having fellowship with Him, nothing else even compares. Let's pray.